Today I want to tackle something that I've been avoiding in years past because it's hard. And that is the piyut, the poetry of Dayenu, as we all know. Right. So there are some themes that are easier, some things that are harder. And Dayenu I've always avoided because there's a universal problem, there's a problem with Dayenu that we, I think, either ignore willfully or unwillfully ignore, or we're just too tired by then. Usually by the time we get to Dayenu, we're just like, oh, you know, like, the kids have asked the questions, let's just go, let's sing the song, Dayenu. Like, we're all hungry already, you know, like, there's a certain... What's that?
Repeat the chorus.
Okay. It's good.
That's when you put the canadla in to heat up.
That's when you heat up the salmon. No, that's when you don't heat up the salmon. It all depends on how much longer you have to, how much more you have to go.
The canadla is definitely good to heat up.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to read through Dayenu. We're going to see the Mefarshim. I'm going to tell you the challenge of Dayenu.
Who wrote it?
I don't know. Really don't know. Excellent question. See if you could, right.
Before you could discuss something like this, and I really feel like you have to know
basic details.
Who made it up? Where did it come from? Okay, so see if you could figure that out, that would be great. Right? It doesn't say. It really doesn't say. And it's very strange. We'll see but it's clear they had in the times of Rishonim. I think it's also clear, I don't know if this piyut of Dayenu is from the times of Chazal, but most of the Haggadah, the vast majority of the Haggadah is from the times of Chazal. So one gets a sense that this is even pre-medieval, this piyut. Dayenu? I'm not sure. I'm not aware of that. It's in the Haggadah of all the Rishonim. Okay, so they have it. But the question is, how much earlier did it go? And you'll notice, by the way, what does Nechama say on it? Nothing. A lot of the modern day commentaries have very little to say about it.
So many levels of favors as God bestowed.
Right. I mean, that's the translation. Kama Ma'alot. Right.
Nothing.
Actually, it's interesting, her translation. We'll see in a second. So let's just go back a little bit. So before we get to Dayenu, the lead in to the Dayenu is the count, is the crazy count of how many makot the Egyptians suffered al hayam. Okay? So how many makot do they have? 10. But 10 isn't really 10. Because there's a pasuk that says, Yishach bar charo apo ezra azam, Yishachat malachi ra'im. And so there's a three-way machloket about how many makot each one was. Because each one was 10, but each pasuk is 10 times 5. And then 10 times 5 times 5, so it's not really 50, it's 150. It's 400,000 makot that the Egyptians suffered, okay, at Kriyat Yamsu. Very interesting machloket, which we're not going to discuss today. I just want to point out, who are the players? Who are the positions in that three-way argument about how many makot there were?
Rabbi Akiva.
Rabbi Akiva. Elazar, Eliezer, and? Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. Okay, I just point that out. I'm not sure what to do with the Rabbi Yossi HaGalili thing, but we'll come back to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. He was Rabbi Yossi from the Galil, I guess. And, I mean, it's a Tana. These are Tanaim, rabbis in the times of the Mishnah.
Okay.
But two of them we'll come back to in a brief minute. Okay? A brief minute, we'll come back to at the end. And then we say, Kama ma'alot tovot lamakam aleinu. Kama. Okay, how do you normally translate that? How many? Is it a question or is it a statement?
A question normally.
And how does Nahama translate it?
So many levels.
It's a statement. Kama ma'alot tovot lamakam aleinu. Okay. And then we go into this really famous, everybody knows, piyut. We're going to read it just to understand the words, and then we'll explain the question, the obvious question. But I want you to think about the obvious question before you see if you can figure out what my obvious question is. Ilo tzianu mimitzayim, velo asabe em shvatim, dayenu. If God had taken us out of Egypt, but did not do justice upon them, and he didn't slam the Egyptians, dayenu. Dayenu means what? Die? Just translate into Hebrew. Dayenu is a real weird word.
Die?
Die.
Stop.
Die. So just you say die, stop. Die does not mean stop. Like, what do my kids say? Die, die, cut it out. Stop bothering me. Enough. Dayenu?
No, die lanu.
Die lanu. Die lanu. Dayenu. Okay? Would have been enough for us.
Would have been enough for us.
Okay. Ilu asabe shvatim velo asabe Elohim. If he slammed the Egyptians and did not do against their gods, below asa, didn't do what?
Execute judgments
against their gods. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
What does it say in the Hebrew, though?
Below asa. Do their gods. It doesn't.
No. That's the second one. Below asa be Elohim. And didn't?
Do their gods.
Destroy their gods. Okay. Dayane, what do we know? Ilu asab Elohehem, velo harag et bechorehem, if he had done to their gods, but did not kill their firstborn, dayenu. Ilu harag et bechorehem, velo natan lanu et mamonam, if he had killed their firstborn, but not given us their mamon, got money, dayenu. Ilu natan lanu et mamonam, velo kara lanu et hayam, dayenu. If he had given us their money, but did not split for us the sea, then it would have been enough. Ilu kara lanu et
what? It's the first one that really doesn't make sense.
Because
you already hit the fundamental question. Why?
Well, what's the point of having all that money if I'm going to be killed?
Right. Okay.
If you're going to still stay in slavery. And
this is even before I even get to the end of
and
the
piyut.
What?
It's also not
very good. It's not in order. Even if we get to before we get to the end of the piyut, we've already come to the fundamental question, which is, can you say it in a much stronger way?
What was the point of us leaving Egypt?
No, that's not the point of that. The point of us leaving Egypt is to get the Torah and to be redeemed.
Right, but according to this, it wasn't.
Oh, very good. What's the problem with the piyut? Come on, say it the way you mean it. What's the problem? Dayenu would have been enough?
It wouldn't have been enough.
That's exactly right.
Point.
It's not true. Okay, well, we say dayenu, but this is like a very critical theme in the whole thing.
It's the song of praise.
You're giving me an answer. So you're saying you don't really mean it. It wouldn't have been enough. That's right. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't bother you? This is the Haggadah. It's nice to say songs of praise. Yaribono Olam V'Almaya. I don't make things up and lie. You know what I'm saying? You know, Nachnu Mami, Nibnei Mami. No, we're not. I mean, do we really say that? Do we ever sing songs that are so exaggerated that they're not true?
Yeah.
In the Haggadah?
No, Haggadah.
Chad Gadya. Nobody has any idea what Chad Gadya means. So nobody knows what it means. So, good idea. Okay. So, and you know what I'm saying? Adir hu, Yivne Beita Bekaro, very nice. Takibu, Rahuhu, blah, blah, hu, blah, blah. Those are all true. Can you think of another example of Haggadah where you came across something, and this is why I've been avoiding Diana all these years. You came across something and you said, that doesn't seem right. Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
Well, it's 250 macro.
Yeah. That always seemed a bit strange to me, too. But you're not necessarily saying you believe
You don't
that.
Really...
That's just reciting somebody else's opinion.
When you say 250 macro, if I looked at each macro and tried to divide it up into its sub macro...
Did you get many macro?
What?
How would you possibly get to 250?
What was the blood? Who suffered the blood? Right, they couldn't.
Well, you're saying to each
they couldn't drink
person?
No, they couldn't drink the blood. They couldn't use the blood. The Nile thing, the fish died. Meaning, I always saw it in that way, that it wasn't 250 separate makot, but each makah had its own sub... Yeah, each makah had its own sub-makah. That's the way I always saw it. And it didn't seem... Okay, it seemed like we're trying to... You know, and by the way, why do we want more makot on them? Very good. Everything they got, we don't get. Which is... I don't really see how it helps us, because God couldn't find something else to figure out, you know?
And by the way, I don't know how many kids you haven't done. We have like.
You have lice. All right. Not that kind of lice.
Lice still exists.
Sorry, I'm being distracted. Okay. So that's the problem. We're going to have to deal with this problem. And we're going
to
see...
Introduction to praise.
What?
Introduction to saying praise to Hashem. They're saying it's enough for us to praise you. That's the...
So you're already giving an answer. That's one of my four answers. That's Moshe Holstein's answer. I was speaking about him about this briefly yesterday.
It doesn't say that that's what we're doing.
What's that?
It says Dayenu. It doesn't say Dayenu Leshaber.
Very good. That's my response to your answer. That's my response to his answer, just so people heard. One answer that Moshe Holstein said is Dayenu. Dayenu means it would have been enough to give praise to God. I mean, that's enough to praise God for that.
But we don't.
And we do praise God for each element. But the problem that Liz brought up is that's not what we say.
Right.
It's not Dayenu l'shabeach. It's Dayenu. The simple context is Dayenu. It would have been enough. And the problem is, would it have been enough?
Maybe it's like it should have been enough.
Well, we wouldn't have known.
We don't say it should have been enough.
I know, but maybe
say,
that's the meaning.
By the way, I think that, by the way, before you, this is a great question to stop. It's a great conversation piece. And I, as you all know from years past, I really like conversation at the Haggadah, at the Seder. I mean, in our schools, they don't really do Vertlach. They don't really do Pshetels, you know, which is good. I don't know. Maybe maybe they do. I don't know. I was never a big fan of, like, I have something to say about this. I'm much more a fan of, what does this mean to you? How do you understand this? And this is a great question because it appeals to everyone. Really? If they gave us the money and Hashem didn't split the sea, that would have been enough?
If we hadn't have known what could come afterwards, and each thing was to stop where it was, mm-hmm. then we wouldn't have known that there was something afterwards, and we would have been happy with whatever it was that we got.
Very good. Okay, I agree with you. That's one of my three answers.
It could have been that there would have been other things even better if the opportunity would have presented itself.
We'll come back to that. You're hitting on an answer I saw from Rabbi Lam's Haggadah. Rabbi Norman Lam.
It's kind of problematic because it's like saying, so on one hand you have to say it will be enough for me if you give me what you give me, but these things that we are leaving out are so important and so intrinsic to our religious.
Let's read on. Let's just read it. Ilu karalana tayam. Lo haviranu l'tocho b'charava dayenu. If he had split for us the sea and did not make us bring us through in it b'charava. Charava?
Dry
land. Very good. In dry land, dayenu would have been enough. Ilu haviranu b'tocho b'charava. If he had brought us through dry land, but did not cause our afflictors to drown in it, dayenu, it would have been enough. Ilu shikat zareinu betocho, if he had caused our enemies to die in it, v'lo sipek tzarchenu b'amidbar 40 shana, and he didn't sustain us, right? Misapek to sufficiently give sufficient needs in the desert for 40 years, dayenu.
But that obviously doesn't make sense.
Why?
Because what would be the point in bringing us out of Egypt to die in the desert?
Okay. Ilu sipek tzarchenu b'amidbar 40 shana. If he had taken care of us in the desert for 40 years. By the way, it also doesn't make sense. Why doesn't it make sense? Because at that point...
And also because there was a punishment.
Right. We weren't supposed to be in the desert for 40 years.
Mm-hmm. It's very clear that this was written as like a poem.
La-di-da. Don't really take it seriously. It's just saying this whole shir is like, whatever.
It's just like a general, we have to thank Hashem for each and every step of the process. But I don't think it's meant to be written.
Okay. You don't have a problem with that?
Again, I look at the general Haggadah, and I think that...
Where in the Haggadah is anything not supposed to be taken seriously?
We're trying to get the kids involved and trying to tell over the story.
Yeah, but one day our kids will be teenagers, and I want them will be enough to decide this is just enough.
Yeah, I don't agree with you. I think that, especially where it's found, the Haggadah, I totally agree with you. It's really fun. Echad mi yodeya, like, you know, you're just flying through it at the end. Mm-hmm. This is the essence of the Haggadah. You know what I'm saying? To say something in such an exaggerated...
Even the Arba Bani.
Yeah.
Just to get you talking and to get you thinking. So here it's just a poetic way of going through each and every little thing that God did for us.
We've done the Arba Bani. The Arba Bani are very deep. The Arba Bani are connected.
Correct.
Four Lashonot, the four... If you recall this, right? The four textual... It's good I didn't do the Arba Bani this year, right? I have a problem with your approach. I understand what you're saying.
This is
right after the 10 plagues and right before Pesach Matzah Umar. You know what I'm saying? It's not like... The way you're saying it... He's good. The way you... She leaves for 1 second. Unbelievable. The way you're saying it, Dayenu, should be right after Echad Mi Odeya and right before Who Knows One, I Know One. One is Hashem, one is Hashem, one is... You know? There you go. I mean, and we all, you know... It's fun, but that's not where it is. It's smack in the middle. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think I'm taking the question seriously.
I'll tell you what.
Let's finish.
The next paragraph, Alachat Kama V'Kama, he repeats it all over again.
Very good.
So it makes you feel that the Dayenu was just too...
I would take your point and take it the exact opposite way. The way you're saying it,
it's
who needs a dayenu? What in the world is it doing there?
It's an order.
That's why it's just to get everyone to wake everyone up in the middle of it.
Ah, I see. I mean, the Chazal knew. I think they sang this tune back in, like, you know, in Babylonia. Ilu hoti hoti. It sounds like, doesn't that sound like something that they wrote in the 1930s for some Broadway show? Hoti anu mimitzayim, hoti anu mimitzayim. I don't think they sang that in, like, ancient Spain.
I don't know about the Dayenu, but I think here... So they sang a different tune, but...
I feel like it here is like... Like, remember how many nisim happened.
Wait.
Every single thing was a miss.
Stop 1 second. You're right, but skip to the end of Dayenu. Right after Dayenu, what does it say? Al achad kama v'kama tova kfula muchupel la makom aleinu. And what do we say? Shaltiyanu mimitzayim v'asabe. So it says all those things that you're saying. So what we could have done is said, al achad kama v'kama tova. And you know what you would have thought? Nothing. You would have said, oh, great. You would have said, hey, where's Dayenu? Mm-hmm. You never would have said that. So this Dayenu is like,
but there is
it's
an aspect,
there.
There is an aspect of keeping kids interested.
100%.
And yeah. Doing it in poetry form does, whatever the tune is. Doing it in poetry form.
You know why you waited for Dayenu? You know why you waited for Dayenu?
All this boring stuff
beforehand. No. That's right. Dayenu was right before the food, and everybody knows it.
No, but there's also the thing about
nobody ever,
Dayenu.
You ever did this? Like,
how many Dayenus do you sing? And like, with us, we go with the competition of
right, exactly.
So, but that was a thing that was fun for the kids.
I agree and with you, but it's only because you had a cute, catchy tune. You think?
But
think
I don't know that they didn't have tunes beforehand. They
no,
might
I'm sure
have had
they had
different
tunes.
Tunes.
I'm sure they had.
But
tunes.
They had tunes, and the tunes and the songs is what keeps the kids interested.
You really? You sing this? Because we do the Dayenu, and then what do you do? Ilu aseven shadi ilu aseven ayem Dayenu. You do it every time?
No.
Your kids will kill you.
The kids try to. There were different kids tried at different times.
Every six. Why? Dayenu, right, exactly right. That's exactly the point. I didn't finish reading it. Ilu hechilanu, I mean, here's where it gets even weirder. Ilu hechilanu et haman, v'lo natan lanu et ha-shabbat. Dayenu. Really? Really? Like, what do you mean? No, Dayenu. I think Dayenu is Baruch Hashem. Okay, Ilu Natalanu et Hashabbat, v'lo kirvanu v'nei Har Sinai, Dayenu. Really? Ilu kirvanu. This is a really weird one. Ilu kirvanu v'nei Har Sinai, v'lo natan lanu et Torah, Dayenu. Isn't it like?
Because we
isn't the whole point
of restrictions
of getting out? Isn't the whole point of getting out of Mitzrayim to get the Torah? Ilu natan lanu et Torah. Really?
No way.
In my Rav Kook Haggadah, like, this is the one the Chayim love. Like, it would have been enough, Dayenu. Like, then Rav Kook said back, yeah, what about Har Sinai, v'lo natan lanu et Torah? So, like, don't take it so seriously. Last one, ilu hechnisanu le'eretz Yisrael, v'lo natan lanu et beit ha-bechira, Dayenu.
That's where we are now.
Wow. Right, that's where we are now. Okay, so obviously we all know the fundamental question. What?
Wow.
Would have been enough.
Enough for what?
That's our question.
Right. So what I'm saying is, maybe instead of the question is, what about all these things? More is, what does Dayenu mean, as opposed to what it all?
So you're saying we're mistranslating Dayenu. So one suggestion that Adina gave is, it would have been enough, and this is a Rabbi Holstein's question, Dayenu l'shabeach et Hashem. Would have been enough for us to praise Hashem. My problem with that, I said to Adina, is, doesn't say that. The simple meaning of the words is, it would have been enough. And our obvious problem is, it would not have been enough.
I think the problem is because we have the retrospect. I think if you're going through something, no matter what it is, what if you say, thank you Hashem for helping me make a job. Why didn't you get me a job?
Nice.
I don't have a job.
Nice.
Thank you Hashem for giving me five children, but why did you give me five
I have to give my shear.
When you're in the middle,
yeah.
You don't realize that it's not enough because you're going through it and you realize this is a test and you're supposed to live arecha l'atom ba'al ara and thank God for what there is and travel through it.
So now my number three answer, very good. So first of all, I love this discussion, by the way, and I promise you, if you have this discussion at your table, you'll come up with Adina's answer, you'll come up with your answer, you'll come up with Liz's answer. That's my number three. So maybe I don't know if I'm going to have anything left when I'm done, but it's okay. Rabbi Lamb has a very beautiful concept of the notion of Shira al Hayam. It is interesting to know that we don't say Az Yashir during the Haggadah. It's very fascinating. You know, like, doesn't that really? I mean, we do sing Az Yashir, we do read Az Yashir in the Shul on Shavuot Pesach. Mm-hmm. But you would think that that would somehow make its way into the Haggadah, and it didn't. It was very interesting.
Well, because it says Az Yashir Moshe, and
Moshe's on the Haggadah. Moshe's on the. You think so? Moshe doesn't appear in the Haggadah. Very interesting.
Also, because we're not supposed to, even in the Haggadah, we
do. We live like kings. We do live like kings. We don't. You know, we say halal hagadol, the halal shalem. We do say. What you're mentioning is the notion that we don't say, one second, we don't say Hallel Shalem all 7 days of Pesach. We only say it on the first day. So, everybody understand that? So, we say the full Hallel the first day, but not the rest of the days. So there's two answers to that question. Why don't we say Hallel the rest of the days? So one of the answers that you're referring to is that when the Egyptians were drowning in the sea, so it says, Bikesh Malache Hasharei Lo Mashira. And Malachim wanted to say praise to God. You know, God is great. He's killing all the Egyptians. And Hashem said, Maasei Adai Tovim Bayam Vatem Romim Mashira. My beautiful creations are drowning and you want to say praise? I mean, that we even have to accept and understand the suffering of our enemies is also suffering. Okay, so and that's what you're referring to. But on the one night we don't do that is the night of Pesach. That we do say Hallel, we even say Hallel twice, according to some opinion. We say Hallel in Shul, and then we also say Hallel here in the Haggadah. So, and we live like kings, and we do celebrate. It actually came up, I remember when Arafat died. This is a big issue. Should we celebrate the death of Arafat? And so the classic answer, the answer to the question was, you should know there's another answer to that question. Right? Everybody likes the Midrash answer, but the real answer is, why don't we say Hallel every other day? Is because it's not like on Sukkot. Every day of Sukkot was considered a different Chag. And the reason we know this is because in the Beit HaMikdash, very good, the different Korban. Whereas on, if you read the Korban note in Musaf, Musaf of Pesach doesn't change. It's the same Korban every day. The idea being that it's not a new Chag, so it's a continuation of the old Chag, so you wouldn't say the full Hallel. But that's just as an aside. Okay.
When you say Shachianu
on Sukkot? New Chag, new experience of the Chag. I don't know. That's a hot Shachianu technical question.
And then you also say it.
Yeah.
Is that your
friend? It is. Oh, that's my son. Oh, I'll call back.
Maybe you should.
What? He's coming from school. I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah, maybe you should speak.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I missed him. Oh,
on
school. Alright, Tammy. Okay, wait a second. In the middle of the shiur.
Every time I get a call from school,
I can't panic. I'm not going to panic.
It goes down into my stomach. Do you not
really
panic?
That was in some
school. That's the first thing they say.
If it is.
Hi, is this an emergency? Because I'm in a shiur. Bye. We forgot. No, I'm sure he was
fine.
He was like, he's in the hands of capable people. That he's calling me himself. It's not like the school is calling me. It's plenty. They can figure it out. I'm just, that's in between a mother and a father. He'll be fine. Okay, says Rabbi Lamb. And this is from his Royal Reach Haggadah, which I quickly just, I saw Naftali Lavenda and I knew it was doing Dayenu, so I just quickly took my phone out. Scan the pages, so I have it with me.
What app do you need for that?
Cam scanner. It's without a doubt the best app ever. Okay? And this is not bad. Just for right, just take a picture of it. It's not bad. Okay. The seventh day of Passover, the day on which the Red Sea split, is one in which we read the reaction of the children of Israel, that of Shira, song. Listen to what he writes. He says, very beautiful. I imagine the children of Israel were in no mood to sing, despite the miracle. Consider what they had gone through. How many of their compatriots had been lost during the 10 plagues, how frightened they were, how overwhelmed they still must have been by the terrible tragedies which confronted them and which they so narrowly averted. It was a time, perhaps, to breathe a sigh of relief, but hardly in one in which to sing.
Sure, because like they crossed the Amazon into the desert.
Ah! See, he didn't say this. I was thinking exactly that. You're in the desert, whoosh, and like, now, like, You have this moment of like euphoria, and then you turn around and you're like, I know exactly what I would have said. What are we gonna do? How are we gonna go? Where's it gonna be? Like I just know myself. I'm always like, you know, like she's panicking about the moment when the kid is calling, and I'm like, what's gonna be five steps down the road? It's just my nature.
It's not taken for granted that they sing. A huge deal is made of the fact that they sing.
Right. Correct. That's exactly Rabbi Lamb's point. He says that's why Hashem said that they should say Shira, because at that I'm going in your shot exactly. He says exactly what you said, that at that point it was critical for them to say Shira, to stop and say, even though I don't feel like saying Shira, even though I don't know, I think that like Mimi, what you're saying is true. Even though I don't know what's going to be, but look what I just experienced. Look at how far I've come from this point, and at that point that you have to say. That you have to say Shira. At that point, that you have to. So therefore, I think at each point you could understand Dayenu Ilu. What's that? Hotzianu Mitzrayim Velo Asabem Shiratim Dayenu. At that point, We would have stopped and said, Dayenu, wow, look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Look at the amazing things that happened to us. You know, and we needed to have said, Shira. And I think this is for me, is a really, really, really powerful thing. So he goes on, he writes the following. He talks about the idea of happiness. Okay? At such time, sometimes people are fortunate. The source of their felicity is external. It comes to them from without. At such time, simcha, happiness, just happens. And a family can erupt in Shira. That's not the usual case. Usually, a happy family is one that creates its own happiness. It sings and thereby evokes the happiness that it seeks. He's talking about marriage, he says, but this is not a question of only marriage, but of each individual as well. In the course of my counseling, I came across people who so very often complain that they are not happy. It does no good to try to describe their situation objectively and compare it to other people. You know, saying, oh, that guy, he's got it worse. Nobody cares about everybody else's problems. When you're not happy, you're not happy. But it does make sense, to manage to look upon life with a more sanguine attitude, with less bitterness and with more joy. Happiness is not necessarily something that happens to a person, but something one can create by an act of will. It can be induced internally as well as happen externally. We are not necessarily at the mercy of our passing moods, which are undisputed masters. We are not passive pawns who can be moved about from red to black and back again on the chessboard of life. If we are human beings, if we possess a modicum of dignity, then we can take our lives in our own hands and at least to a large extent determine whether we shall be happy or miserable. And this speaks to me so, so strongly because, like, on the one hand, I am by nature a worrier. What's going to be? How am I going to deal with this problem, that problem? We all have our stuff. Like, what'd you say? Where's it going to school? And, you know what I'm saying? At any given time, how many of us don't have 5 things to be concerned about going forward? 10 things, 50, whatever the number is. What?
At least 5 things.
Dayenu says, stop. Stop and take stock. And appreciate the things that you have up to this point. It's not to say that the things that you don't have, your challenges aren't real. When they said Shira al-Hayyan, they had real problems. First and foremost is, what are we going to eat for dinner tonight? You know, or in 2 days or 3 days.
That's we don't go to the toilet.
In the desert.
I was
in
the hospital with Natalie. There was a woman there who had a 2-month-old baby who had pneumonia and a really and she was in the same ward as me, and I heard her on the phone, and she was saying, Baruch Hashem, the fever's down to 39, it was 40,
yeah.
And Baruch Hashem, the baby's sleeping before he was asleep. Like, every single thing that she was saying was a big problem.
Yeah.
But she was saying it in a way that was like, I'm so blessed. And it was such a lesson to just like be appreciative of every step.
I just have to read you the rest. I mean, I hate what people read, but I have to read you because he says it so beautifully. And if you want, I have this on my thing. I can share it. Maybe I'll share these pages on the Facebook thing. I'll share it on the Facebook.
I'm sorry, I don't keep it late. Who's saying
this? Is Rabbi Lam, Rabbi Dr. Norma Lam, in his royal table. Okay, I got it from Tabi Lavender. Okay, a person has the right to expect happiness from marriage, but he has no right to expect that good fortune will be his or hers at every step, while he passively rides on the crest of euphoria. It is his and her task and obligation to get and give happiness, even if it has to be fabricated selectively out of the raw material of experience and circumstance and error. Right? This idea, it has to be fabricated selectively. You are happy because you choose to focus on the things that you have and not on the things that you don't. It's a very, very powerful idea. And this speaks to us. You know what I'm saying? All of us know what we're going to say when they say, we know what we're going to say here because, you know, like you just hope a siren doesn't go off while we're saying it. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to imagine it. You don't have to think about it. It's so tangible. Okay? It's very interesting. Yesterday, I was emailed with somebody about another issue that's going on in my life. And I was like, yeah, I've been really distracted recently. And he said, what, about the rockets? And I was like, I didn't even think about the rockets. I just don't think about it, you know? But somebody living in Male Adumim thinks that I'm worried about the rockets. It's just interesting that everybody places your pekala somewhere else. Even in times that are difficult and tense, we must be able to sing. Even as in our days.
You must be able to what? Sing.
Sing, Shira. Even in our days, when Jewish life seems threatened all over the world, and the future seems ominous, we have no right to fall into doubt and gloom and hesitation and despair. He says that it was clear, by the way, it's clear he's writing, he's copying many of his drushot. Like, it's clear he gave it in the Jewish Center one year, okay? Because he boxed about 67 and 73. He says in 67, everybody gave Shira. And in 73, did we give Shira? You know what I'm saying? So, but it's so true today. It's just so the same true. That is the real test. To sing of your Jewishness even when you sing alone. To be content in your Jewishness even when the world is alienated from you. To laugh at the despair and banish it from your life. To be a Jew means to sing. So you want to say Dayenu, right? So it's my second answer. The second answer of Dayenu is, even if the rockets are falling, Dayenu that we're living in Yad Binyamin, and that we have a tzava that's going to shoot back. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to the other way around. Dayenu. Even if the government of Iran is trying to get a nuclear weapon that could shoot at us, Dayenu that we have somebody to protect us. Dayenu that we have a standing in the world. Dayenu that we're sitting where we're sitting now. That's so critical. It's so interesting because I'm preparing this year, sitting in shul right now. Somebody comes out to me and goes, I get such nachas seeing you when you learn with your son. You are such a fortunate person. He says, you know what I'm saying? I was like, right? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many of us, though, you know what I'm saying? I don't think about that thing. I think about, well, what am I going to do with him? What am I going to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's Dayenu. And I think that that's a powerful message. And what I wanted to add is, this theme always resonates with me very strongly, is the idea that the Haggadah Shel Pesach that we celebrate is the Haggadah of Galut. Right, this is the, I think I mentioned this last year, I don't know, the years before. You'll tell me. Divorce Saban's not here. Yeah.
She went from there.
Our Haggadah is an incomplete Haggadah. It's clearly an incomplete Haggadah because the idea of when we celebrate the Geula, we're sitting in Galut celebrating the Geula. We're sitting like kings, even though either we know we're not kings. Right? And this is Shana Ba'a. When there's no more glaring example of this than the Korban Pesach that we don't eat.
And we say twice.
What's that?
And we say
twice. You mean in the second Seder?
Yeah.
My nephew said to me this week, he says, he doesn't mind second days of Yom Tov, but he says the second Seder is like a drag already, right? You know what I'm saying? Didn't we just do this already? Yeah. What's to be said for that? Although, many women I've met said they'd love to have the night, the Seder on the second night as opposed to the first night, because you're just exhausted. Which is 100% true. What?
The first day of
right, it's much nicer. Yeah, it's much nicer. Although, the answer to that is, you should just know, in Halacha, Erev Pesach, in the way it's supposed to be, Erev Pesach is a chag. It's asur b'malacha.
That's right.
Right, in its ideal, meaning you couldn't cook up to the very last minute. Because by the time your husband went, you went to Yerushalayim, and your husband went to go bring the Korban Pesach, you had to be done. You know what I'm saying? It was a chag itself. There's a chag of Hakrabat Pesach. And they came back, and then you like roasted the Korban Pesach, everybody in the family, blah, blah, blah. Right, so it wasn't meant to be this like mad dash to the end.
So what time are we supposed to stop and burn?
Chatzot.
Like 12 o'clock.
12:30. What? I have vivid memories of my grandmother forcing me to take a nap and just no way falling asleep, never, not a chance, nothing. You know what I'm saying? Go to sleep.
Yeah. I remember going to sleep as a mother, waking up to discovering that my kids had eaten all the vegetables that I'd made for the
summer. All right, you know.
And I had to remake
them. I think. The mad dash to the end is a problem, and as much as you can avoid it, as much as you can. The problem is you also have to feed the family before the Seder because they're not going to eat. Everybody's very hungry. Many, many potatoes. Just cook many, many potatoes. You don't have to, these are all problems. But the ideal is not to kill yourself the day before the night of so that you can go into the Seder just exhausted. That's something missing. But I wanted to point out that this idea of the whole Seder is an exercise in Dayenu. Because in reality, while we're celebrating as kings, we know we're really not kings. While we're celebrating the redemption, like the idea in at the very end, right, when we say Pesach, right, with the very end in the bracha, right, we say Lefikach Anocha Ivim Lahodot Lahalel Leshabeach, we praise God, right, blah 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 blah. Okay, 1 second. And then we say something fascinating. 1 second. One second.
Second.
Asher Ge'alanu, the bracha we say is Ge'alanu, Yigiyanu alai laze. And then what do we say? Ken Hashem Elokeinu Yagi'enu lemoadim legalim achem habayim l'shalom. Right? Even in the bracha where we thank Hashem for the greatness that He's done for us, yeah, like we understand that this is not really what it's supposed to be. Even where as far as we've come. But that's not the goal of Pesach night. The goal of Pesach night is to stop. Stop for a minute.
And say
Dayenu. Yeah, that's a very, very powerful message, that this idea of Dayenu in and of itself. To be able to stop and say that it would be enough. It is enough. At that point, it would have been enough in our lives. And this is not to say that we don't yearn for more and that the yearning for more is not enough. But we have to be able to stop. Because if you're not able to stop, if you're not able to say Dayenu, quite simply, we'll live miserable lives. Because you're always looking for the next thing. You'll never be enough.
Then your kids will go and share for
that. Yeah. Okay, so I think that's I agree with you totally. That was a very beautiful shot from Rabbi Lam. Let's go back. There's some unbelievable midrashim. Okay, so when I looked at the Rishonim, oh, you're looking at this? This is Haggadah Shel Pesach Torat Chaim. Okay, but it's just different Rishonim, you know, who wrote commentaries on the Haggadah. It is very nice, but not simplified at all. Not really straightforward. So if you go through the Bishonim, I saw two different thematic approaches to Dayenu. Okay, one of them, I'll quote you, is from the Rashbats, who is Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Tzemach Duran. If somebody can Wikipedia him very quickly, I don't know when he lived. Okay. And the second one is the Avudraham. Rabbi David Rabbi Yosef Avudraham. You can Wikipedia him for me? In Hebrew? Okay, Rashbat Abudraham. I don't know when each one lived, but I think some of the times.
I think was Spanish.
I'm sure Rabbi Rashbat was also. I'm not sure. Okay? And they take two very different approaches to it. The Rashbat takes it very, very literally. Okay? As he goes through, he literally says, we asked, it wouldn't have been enough. If Hashem didn't give us the Torah, it wouldn't have been enough. If Hashem didn't this, it wouldn't have been enough. And quite simply, as you read through his Perush, he basically says, yes, it would have been enough. Right? If Hashem had, like each time, lo asa behem shvatim, if Hashem had stopped it there, you know what I'm saying? Or, I mean, it really isn't an or. Excuse me. But if Hashem is karar lanu et hayam, let me see if I can find a good one where he says it. One second. Mm-hmm. Here. Ilu kirvanu lifnei ha-sinai v'lo natan lanu et ha-torah. Would that have been enough? He says something specifically interesting happened at Har Sinai, which I'll share with you in a minute. It would have been enough. Hashem would have stopped there. So then history would not have played out the way it would have played out. We would have gotten to Har Sinai. What happened there, as I'll explain to you, happened there. And you know what I'm saying? And history would have changed differently, but it would have been enough. You know what I'm saying? This is sort of similar to what we said before. Hindsight is 20/20. We're looking back and saying, oh, it had to happen a certain way. Who says it had to happen a certain way? Who is to say that Hashem had to give us the Torah? He would have given somebody else there, but for us it would have been enough. If we didn't have the Beit HaMikdash, it would have been enough. If we didn't have Eretz Yisrael, it would have been enough. It would have been different. But it would have been enough. That's the idea. You know what I'm saying? And it seems different, it seems contradictory to the way we understand things, but everything doesn't have to play out a certain way. Hashem decides how it plays out at every different stage.
That's what a lot of people say about the Beit HaMikdash, and it's a problem.
Why? Hashem gave us the Beit HaMikdash, and we're supposed to, now that we had it, we're supposed to rebuild it. Okay, but what we're saying then is if He hadn't given us the Beit HaBechira, we would have worshipped God in some other way. He would have found another way. Would have been fundamentally different. That's not to say that we're not supposed to. I mean, you're articulating the classic problem, this Dayenu. What the conundrum between, you find it? You didn't find it.
It's not coming.
Okay. The balancing between it's enough and I want more. See, on the one hand we're saying Dayenu, but we all know that we want Mashiach to come. We want the complete redemption. So this Dayenu is a stage. It's appreciate what you have at a certain stage. It's not to say, like, you're supposed to be happy with what you have. Like, that's always a classic, you know, we say Ezehu Ashir. Sameach Bechelko. So that means you're not supposed to want anything?
No.
We have. Are you happy that you have?
Yes.
You just said no and yes. You said you have.
Are you happy that you have? Yes. You're supposed to want more.
If you want more, are you not?
Can you be? Can you want more without being unhappy with what you have?
Yeah.
Really?
Then why would you want more?
Yeah.
Because your happiness doesn't come from the stuff. It comes from what you are and what you believe in. If you have extra stuff.
Yeah, then what do you need? Who needs more?
It's like extra, it's enhancing, but not that my happiness is dependent on it. I'm not striving for it because I need it for my happiness.
Why else do we strive for things? It would be nice. No, you can't say that. It would be nice means...
It would make
me more happy. Of course.
That doesn't mean you're unhappy.
If you would be no more happy with something else, you would never go for it. You would never want it.
To grow, you need but you have to grow. In order to grow as a person.
That's the conundrum. You know what I'm saying? So Diane was not... What is interesting is Diane was not at the end. I agree with you. I think you have to take stock and be happy with what you have. It's a conundrum in Diana.
Yeah.
It's a conundrum. Yes, you want to be happy with what you have.
You have to strive for more.
You have to strive for more. You know what I'm saying? I think Rabbi Lam articulated very beautifully. You are selectively happy, but that doesn't mean it's perfect. Right? You find happiness in your choosing. That doesn't mean that you couldn't be more happy. Because if you couldn't, you know what I'm saying? If you never strove, if you never wanted more. Anyway,
Sorry,
you got it.
Yeah. 1361 to 1444.
Spain, I'm guessing.
Algeria.
Wow. Okay. Abu Jaham? She's working on it. Are you in a Hebrew? Are you in Hebrew Wikipedia?
No, I found it. Yeah.
Okay, good. Next one. That's Rashbats. He said literally it means Dayenu. Abu Jaham takes a totally different perspective. Oh, wait. I have to share with you. This is a wacky one. Ilu kirvanu lifnei Har Sinai velo natan lanu et haTorah. If God had brought us to Har Sinai and didn't give us the Torah, what was the benefit of being a Har Sinai without getting the Torah? So he says the following. The Midrash that says... One second. No. Not really. It's even better than that. Okay? The Midrash says the following. The Midrash says... Abu Jaham, what did you get?
From the Rishonim of Rabbanei Sfarad.
Yeah.
He lived around 1340
mm-hmm.
in Spain, and
Spain. Okay, so we have Spain and we have Algeria. Very nice. That's Abu Jaham. So the Rashbat says the following. The Midrash says that when the Jewish people arrived at the Machane, the camp at Har Sinai, they dwelled Machane Yisrael imachane haMelachim. With the camp of the angels, upaska mimenu hazuhama, and they lost zuhama is some kind of spiritual impurity. Okay, they had this sort of stench, this spiritual stench about them. What was it from? Shehitil hanachash bechava kisheba aleha. Okay, what was the sin that Chava committed with a nachash? So we all think that what did the nachash do? He caused her to eat from the forbidden fruit. According to the Midrash, he slept with a nachash. She slept with a nachash. Right? Don't think of the nachash, by the way, as a snake. Because the nachash, before God turned him into a snake, was something else. Remember? The nachash didn't always walk on his stomach.
Well,
it
doesn't make it any less nasty.
Okay, correct. The nachash, he says, hisiani, he tricked me. What's hisiani? From the word nisuin. Okay, that there's this original sin. Okay, we have karile hishiani b'shin. Okay, and when Yisrael Sham do al Har Sinai, achachit kashusham, when the Jewish people got to Har Sinai, paska zuhamatan, shenitlapshu boshet apanim v'yirat chet. Okay, they lost this brazenness. They had a sense of brazenness from that act that was genetically encoded in them, all mankind. And only the Jewish people from standing at Har Sinai, their genetic coding was lost. And they lost this zuhama that they had at Har Sinai. You can take it for what it's worth. I just had to share it with you. Whatever, right? Har Sinai got rid of that
original sin.
Wow. Yeah, really. Original sin stayed with them. It stays with humankind until today. And those people who were not at Har Sinai. What?
So that anyone that was at Har Sinai was cured.
Was
cured.
Yes.
You can say that only came once the Torah.
Right, right. Ilu, that's what he's saying. Kirvanu liftei har Sinai v'lo natan lanu et haTorah. And that's what he said, Dayenu. That would have been enough.
You could just say that they all were cured.
Oh. Yes, yeah. I don't know if I would share this at the table with the 5-year-old. The 13-year-olds will find that interesting. Yeah.
No, but you could say that. The concept of just being at Harsina cured anyone of any illness.
Yeah, don't. Come on.
You could relate to the Zuama more than you could to the illness.
If that makes you feel better, you can say whatever you like. Okay. Abudraham first then mentions, Abudraham says, how many malot are there? How many are there? There's very interesting, fascinating thing. How many do we list here? How many in the piyut? Kama malot tavot la makom aleinu? 15. Okay. What else are there 15 of? 15? Why 15? 15 is a very important number. Stay with me. We're going to finish soon. How many, what is 15 an important number? How many shir malot are there? 15 Shir HaMa'alot. How many steps to the Beit HaMikdash were there from? 15, right. How did you know?
I stand in the dark.
He actually quotes Yerushalmi. It's a very beautiful Yerushalmi. Gemara says the following.
What's the link?
What? We praise, right? That the number 15 is a significant one. Kama HaMa'alot Tavot L'Makom Aleinu. How many do we count? We count 15. Right, this number 15 is significant.
Ma'alot is almost like going...
Stages, up. Right? Ma'alot Tavot.
Going up.
Steps. Correct. Right, you can say, how many 15s can you think of?
Hang on,
right,
Nikki?
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
I don't know. It's 15, plus or minus 1.
11, 12,
13, 14.
There's
14. Hosiana means... What?
Yeah, but means that your last one has got something that isn't repeated.
Right? Ah, Beta Bashira.
So that's
Bazinga. Okay. yeah, okay. I should have said that. Okay, so what's the significance of the 15? The significance of the 15? Stop. Okay. The 15, the Midrash says, it's another 15. It says, when David wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash, he had to dig down to the Tehom. Because in order to build the Beit HaMikdash, the Mizbeach had holes in it in order to pour the wine, and the wine went all the way down to the Tehom, means the depths, the foundations of the earth. So it says he dug 15 times 100 amot. 100 times 15 amot. 1500 amot down. That's a pretty big foundation. When he got to the foundation, we got 1500 amot down, he found a stopper made of cheres. I just have to read this for you, okay? One second. And so he gets to this atzitz shel cheres.
Sorry, who's
David Amelech. They dig down and they get to this atzitz is like a plant, but a plant made of cheres means like a
plant holder.
Okay, good. Who wants to pick it up? Amar Eloha atzitz le David. The plant holder says to David, "Ein atal yachol harimeni. I wouldn't pick me up if I were you." David says, "Lama?" He says, "Lefnei she'ani munach kan lichvosh et hatahom. I am plugging up the depths, the waters of the depths. Okay, and if you unplug me, by the way, it'll flood the world." Amarlo David, "Mi matay ata munach kan? From where are you here?" Amarlo, "Mi otash she'ash amar Kadosh Baruch Hu b'Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. From the day that Hashem said to Sinai, I am the Lord your God." Okay, etc., etc. Af al pikein lo shama lo David v'harimo. David didn't listen, and he picked it up. And what happened? So the flood of water started flooding. Okay, and then there's a whole long story about how David didn't know what to do. His Rebbe Achitofel did know what to do, but Achitofel said, "I'll wait till David drowns, and then I'll be the king, and then I'll stop up the waters," because he knew how to use Hashem Hashem to stop up the waters. And David said, "Anybody who knows how to stop it up and doesn't tell me will die of hanging nechnak." Achitofel said, "Oh, I should better tell him," but in the end he was choked anyway. This idea of 15, he quotes in, the Abidraham says, it is a remez to the 15 Shir HaMalot Sha'amar David. David said 15 Shir HaMalot. Why did he say the 15 Shir HaMalot? Sheba lachpor et hashitin shel Beit HaMikdash. He said every time he said another Shir HaMalot Hashem, the water went down another 100 amot. Every time until he finally got the water back to where it was supposed to be, and he could put the plug back in. So if you think, if you have water, if you have an overflow, and you need to use Drano, don't bother with Drano, start saying Tillim, and then maybe it'll work for you. Anyway,
maybe.
I doubt it. Okay, the Abudraham says, You don't like that. Okay. The Abu Daham says, you're giving me a funny look. The Abu Daham says, at each one, he says, you have to look at the detail of the Dayenu. Ilu Hotziyanu Mimitzayim Lo Hashem Shvatim. Did we really need Shvatim? Like, those are easy ones. Because we don't need God to do Shvatim. He could have taken us out without the Shvatim. Okay? It's a very fascinating one. Ilu Haragit Bechoreihem V'lo Natan Lanu Et Mamonam. He says, look at the order. When did we get the money? Before the Makkah Bechor or after?
Before.
Before. This isn't talking about that. Hashem had to give us that money. Why did he have to?
He's meant to kill them.
No, why did he have to give us that money? Promised Avraham Avinu he would give us that money. So he says, what money is this talking about? This is talking about the money of the Egyptians that we got where?
Al
Svatayam. Very good. An Yamsuf, after the Egyptians all drowned, right? Their diamonds and gold and whatever, which we talked about, right, came spit up on the water. We didn't have to have that. Okay, so Dayin, we didn't need that. Okay, ilu la talanu v'amonu v'lo kara lanu et hayam. Really, did God have to split the sea?
Kind of did.
No, he didn't actually. You know why? Because we've sure discussed the Kriyat Yamsuf was intentional. We didn't have to go that way. We went a different way, so we could have gone a different way. At each turn, he says, it's so interesting, at each turn he says,
we crossed the sea, we came back to...
We came back the same way. Very good. So did we have to cross the sea?
No.
No, we didn't have to cross the sea.
We had to have the
next. Okay. He says something even about the Torah. He says, Lo natan lanu et haTorah. He says, Hu ba'atzmo hadibrot. Ela al yidei Moshe. He reads into each one. If God himself, Ilu kervanu lifnei har Sinai, Velo natan lanu et haTorah, and God himself didn't give us a Aseret Dibrot. Dayenu. We didn't need God to give it. Moshe could have given it to us. So what's interesting about the Avudraham is, he takes our question, hey, it's not true. And he says, you know what?
It is.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Dayan. It would not have been enough if God hadn't done the whole Yetziat Mitzrayim process. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is specific details of the way Hashem did it, and each one, it's Dayenu. We didn't have to do it that way. It would have been Dayenu. You know what I'm saying? In each one, you could find Hichnisanu L'Eretz Yisrael in a majestic way. He brought us in. We would have gone ourselves. Like, what's fascinating about it is, what I love about the Avudraham is, he takes the question and he says, I agree with you. And so in order to get out of the question, it's almost similar to what somebody said before, about who gave me the pshat of Rav Holstein? Somebody moved.
Adina.
About to say praise. And Avudraham says a very similar tact. Like, okay, Dayenu to say praise, okay, Dayenu to do it exactly that way. The problem, of course, with that pshat is that Avudraham's pshat is, that's not the simple meaning of the piyut. But again, Mimi wasn't bothered by that. Yeah, it's a piyut, it's very nice, it doesn't really mean that. Okay, so what we've come up with very beautifully is four different explanations for Dayenu. Number one, we said, is it really Dayenu? Says the Rashbat, yes, it would be Dayenu. It would have been enough. And you have to look at it and understand that Hashem doesn't have to do everything that he did. And that it would have been enough, and history would have been different. Second answer is the Abu Jaham's answer. Would it have been enough? No, not really. But we're focusing on each one in the detail. Dayenu would have been enough. That detail. Hashem could have done another way.
Number three, what?
It would have been, meaning, Ilu natan lanu et haTorah, he himself didn't bring it to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem didn't give us the Torah through himself directly. Meaning, on each Dayenu, it's a dayenu of a specific detail, not the whole idea. It's not to be taken literally. What?
Enough for what? Enough
for
the rest of the sentence.
He says, dayenu mibnei shapasek mena azuama. You know what I'm saying? But and he would have given us a Torah another time, or another place, or another way. He didn't bring us to Eretz Yisrael, he says. One second. Here he says, afa pishin nishba la'avotenu la'teit lanu ha'aretz. Hashem had to give us a Torah. If he didn't give it to us then, he would have given it to us later. You understand what I'm saying? So each time he finds a way out. He says, "So, but really, Dayenu, would it have been enough? No. But the piyut doesn't mean exactly what it sounds like it means. Similar, we saw the Rav Holstein explanation, Dayenu to say Shira. And then finally we saw the beautiful idea of Rabbi Lam of Dayenu at each and every point. And that's a beautiful message for each of us. To see the good, even though you're focusing on, we face a lot of challenges and a lot of issues and a lot of difficulties. Nonetheless, there's an importance to say Dayenu. There's an importance to see the good, to see the brachot that we have, and to be able to say, even though we're sitting at a at a Seder of Galut. And even though we're not reaching the redemption, we have to be able to say Dayin. We have to see where we are, even before we want to move forward. In our lives, as a community, Klal Yisrael, it's such an important message. Stop here.